Tonight I'd like to invite you over to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, verse 21. Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, verse 21.
The Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, verse 21 reads this way. It says, "And he said unto them, Is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick?" Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight. Lord, we thank you once again for the privilege of gathering together as your church. And Lord, knowing again that you are in our midst. And so we ask the blessing for your Holy Spirit to guide our hearts and minds to worship you in spirit and in truth. And Lord, that we might hear from you tonight and that you would strengthen the faith and the grace that you've given to us, that we might be faithful witnesses, Lord, of your great grace that you've given to us. Bless tonight, Lord, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message tonight is simply The Purpose of Light. The Purpose of Light. And so we're going to look at four thoughts very quickly tonight. The Lord's purpose of light, the Lord's manifestation of light, the Lord's consideration of light, and the Lord's consequences or consequence of our consideration of his light. And so God is concerned that we don't walk in darkness. Is that the truth? The old nature walks in darkness. There is no light. The wisdom of this world will never see the light of God without the grace of God. And so we need God's grace, but not only for salvation, but for everyday life, that we might walk with him day by day, moment by moment, considering our ways, lest thinking that we stand, we're not. We'll be failing the Lord. And so tonight, as we consider that, I want you to see that the Lord has a desired result in this whole idea here. He's asking a question here. He says, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed? Of course not. That's not the place where you put a candle. And not to be set on a candlestick is the question. Shouldn't it be? Isn't the place for it to be on a candlestick where it will be lifted up to give light to everybody who is around it? Well, likewise, so is the Word of God. And so is the truth of God in our salvation to be our light. And so what's the purpose of the Lord's light? It's to allow us to see our direction in the darkness. I mean, my goodness, the world has become darker in the last few years, in this last year, than ever before. There's so much darkness that's going on today, and there's so many things that people are getting involved with, and how would you say when people try to reason, it's so distorted now with everything that's been put out and promoted that if we're not people careful as God's people, we'll get caught up in the darkness and miss the light of God. So notice what he says here again in verse 21. And that is that the light ought to be elevated. So that's the purpose of God's light. Now, also you and I have been indwelt by the Holy Spirit. For what? What's the purpose of the Holy Spirit? To guide us into the Lord's truth, into his light. So the Holy Spirit has been given to us so that we would not walk in darkness. But now here's the way that it works. God presents an opportunity to walk in the truth. We'll make that choice. And dependent upon what we do with God's situations or opportunities, grace opportunities that he puts before us, we'll either grow brighter and understand more wisdom, or even as a saved child of God, we'll become more carnal. Jesus said, you're either for me or you're against me. The Bible tells us that light and darkness have no concord with each other. There's no agreement on them. So the more that we adhere to darkness, what are we doing to the light of God? We are putting it under the bed. We're covering it up. And what happens is, therefore, we will walk in darkness and the world will not see the light of God. In fact, what they will see is a contradiction. If we profess to be in the light and walk in the darkness where God is not, then we are misrepresenting to a very harmful degree what we're professing to be as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this is important. So you're going to see this tonight. The more we yield to the Lord, the more we're going to understand the light and be able to walk in it, right? So for example, if somebody was training me to do a specific task and they were proficient in it, the more I listened to them and followed their direction, it would stand to reason that I would be able also to perform that specific skill. But if I decided to do something differently, I got a better way. You like those kind of people? Well, I know what you told me to do, but I had a better idea. Amen? And that's a good way to lose a job, especially if your boss is asking you to do something a specific way and it's not done that way. But more importantly to the believer, it's a way to miss out on what God's trying to do in our lives to bless us. Because remember, again, God's cup in us, what he wants to do with his grace is fill our cup or our lives to where it's filled up all the way to the top for you and I to enjoy, and then it should overflow into the lives of our family, church family, and ultimately to the world. So with that thought in mind, I want you to see the second thought here, and that is the Lord's manifestation of light. Look at verse 22. For there is nothing hid which shall not be what? Manifested or revealed. Listen, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. So the Lord is saying it's going to be revealed. It's going to be manifested, whether or not the light is being used or whether the light's in our lives or whether it isn't. So what's going to happen is an exposure of the position of our heart concerning our faith in God. That's what he's really talking about here. So we reveal to ourselves and to the whole world what we're relying on or what we're really trusting in. We may say one thing, but we may live a way that is contrary to the profession that we're making. And the Lord's saying it's not going to be hid. We're either for the Lord and his way, and we're yielded to that because, listen, we're either believing. Jesus said, you're either for me or you're against me. Jesus said, listen, there's no middle ground. You can't say, I'm just going to park right here for a little while. No, God says, the moment you do that, you're going to lose ground. Now, he provided ample opportunities for the Israelites while they were in Egypt and he was freeing them. He was in the process of working. He was wanting them to understand that even don't trust your eyes. Believe in the word of God. Don't listen. Don't trust your feelings. Adhere to the word of God. So the Lord said, I'm going to free you. The problem was they did not understand the Lord's ways. And so what we learn from that is that you and I also do not understand the Lord's ways. Now, the world is a deceiver, really. The spirit of the world is deception because Satan is the prince and power of the air. He's over the world. And so the world would say, the world would try to sell you something that's not real. You look at these people that give themselves over to the world and to the devil and to the things of this world, and whether they're looking for fame or whether they're looking for wealth or whatever it is, they get to the end of their lives and they're a shipwreck. They really are. You've heard about all these rock stars that have died in their youth. You've heard about all these movie stars, the same thing. They're given over to the world. They're playing. They think that they're gaining something, but when they come to the end of life, especially when they step into eternity, they're going to realize they've been fooled. Now, either we're believing what God is saying about himself, or we're not. Now, the truth of the matter is that the way the Lord works is always in truth. But listen, our minds do not always grasp that. But we don't have to understand the Lord to follow him. Let me say that again. It doesn't have to make sense to us in order for something to be right. There are laws at work today that we don't really fully, completely understand. Is it possible that there are things at work today that we haven't even discovered yet? There is. But does that make them untrue? Does that make them not exist? No, it doesn't. But the more we understand, the more we begin to understand the things that are at work. But with the Lord, whether we understand the way he works, not the way he works, but what he's wanting us to do doesn't make it an untruth. Because there is no lie in the Lord. He's all true. All right. So with that, notice again verse 22. For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. It's going to be revealed. Now, specifically, if the Lord is talking about the light and the manifestation of that light, is he talking to the world? No. Because there's no light in the world. Where's the light of God today? It's in the Lord, but are you indwelt with the Holy Spirit? So the light of God is in your life and mine, or should be, and could be. It doesn't mean that it's automatic, but you've been indwelt with the Holy Spirit with the potential of the light of God shining your life, leading the way in your life. Okay, so we find the Lord's purpose of light, and that's the Lord's desired result, and that is to allow us to see our direction in the darkness. We find the Lord's manifestation of light, and that is to expose our position of our hearts concerning our faith in the Lord or our matter of trusting what he's asking us to do. Because the truth of the matter is, listen, is the Lord on the throne? Is he in control of everything? Does that make you happy? Amen. It does make you happy. But close your Bible and just listen to the news 24/7 for 1 week. How will your outlook on life be? You'll wonder where God's at, won't you? Do you fathom the thought? We are indwelt with the Holy Spirit, but we can be moved by the power of this world by neglecting the Word of God. That's important. The more we give ourselves to the Word of God, the more we'll trust the Lord and walk in His truth. Now, we are fallible. God knows that. But God knows what we really want. Lord, I really want you. Lord, you know my frailty, you know my failures, but I don't want to lean to my own understanding. When you turn on the TV, you are looking at the heart of the world. When you turn on the media, for the most part, I'm not saying there's not Christian programming, I'll make an exception for that, but for the most part, you're hearing the philosophy or the wisdom of this world. Are you not? And it's very dismal. It's hopeless, really. Everything's falling apart. I don't know if it's a comet. I don't know if it's global warming. Whatever it is, it's not good. But that, to me, does not reveal. Listen, when the people of God, when the Israelites were in Egypt, all they were getting was the rule of Egypt. But now God came in through Moses and said, okay, now we're going to have a different opportunity. Now I'm going to lead the way, but you'll have to put your faith and trust in me and not in what the world is saying or trying to do. And so we have the same battle today. We have, in fact, I think it's been amplified, don't you? I was listening to one person today, I think it was, and they said something about these media outlets, whatever it may be, they're negative. And he asked the question. He said asked the question, how much time do you spend? And this particular person, I think, was on TikTok and some other media things. And I don't spend that much time. And the person said, really? He said, can we see your screen time? I guess you could check your screen time and see whatever you've been on. I wonder if people on purpose don't check their screen time. My screen time is up and down, but it's I don't know. You can look at it. It's right here. I don't know exactly. I was down. I don't know how many. I think 17 minutes a day. Now, I'm not saying I don't use the internet. I just don't like to do it on my phone. My eyes aren't all that great, but I've never seen TikTok other than somebody showing me something on TikTok. I don't go after that because what is that? What is TikTok and what is it's just simply opinions from other people. Can I get from those things what the Word of God is going to give me or wants to give me? So why am I saying that? I'm afraid God's people are so caught up in things that are passing away that they have little to no time in their pursuit of the Lord. And so if we're setting the light aside, then the only thing that's going to come in is the world. And so the Lord is saying, I want you to know something. I've got a promise for you. If you'll seek me, you'll what? You'll find me. And if you'll seek me early, you'll have me when you need me. And so very quickly, watch this. Look at verse 23, and I want you to see the Lord's consideration of light. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. Now, he's not talking about necessarily audibly hearing. He's talking about understanding. When I hear you now. Right? What are we saying? I understand you now. I hear you now. I misunderstood you. I didn't hear you right. You ever said that? I didn't hear you right. It happens. I didn't hear you right. I heard something different, you know, and it sounded something like this. And so if we have an ear to hear the truth, God says, you're going to understand some things. Look at verse 24. And he said unto them, take heed what you hear. Take heed what you're listening to. Watch, guard your screen time. Now, I'm not necessarily talking about what you're watching on the internet. Just guard your time, period. As to what you are giving yourself to. Now, let's just look at it from this perspective. It's not that we're talking about sinning. It's not. Now that can be involved, but let's. I'm not even looking at that. But we can get through the end of the day and find little food for our soul if all we've done was dabbled in the things of the world that are passing away, and didn't spend any time in the Word of God personally. Just you and the Lord. I'm not against listening to something, a sermon. I'm not against. And by the way, listen. You've come into the house of the Lord tonight, and that's a good thing. But I will tell you, on top of that, you ought to personally pursue the Word of God yourself. I think it's important. I think it's got the Lord's body, the Lord's institution here at Northwood Baptist Church. But I think it's critically important for you personally to look to the Word of God yourself. Because God has something He wants to say to you, specifically to you, that will build you up. So make time. My goodness, you can find the Word of God for free almost anywhere now, online. You can, you know, and that's a good thing to do, and listen to the Word of God. So he said unto them, verse 24, take heed. He said unto them, take heed what ye hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. Did you get that? Listen to what he's saying very carefully. Take heed, first of all, what you're listening to, and with what measure you meet, the amount of effort that you put to it, it shall be measured to you. So if you put little to nothing, what are you going to get back? Little to nothing, right? You're going to get little to nothing. And it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall what? More be given. More what? More light. More understanding. Listen, the whole premise of what Jesus is saying is talking about the purpose of the light of God in your and my life. So the last thought here, and by the way, the Lord's consideration of light is a revelation of our heart for God and our understanding of the Lord. And so that's when the Lord is considering this object lesson of light, he's really revealing, wanting us to see our heart for God. Because if we don't have a is it possible for a child of God to not have a heart for God? Yeah, it is. If we give ourselves, let's just look at King David, a man after God's own heart. When he stayed home from the battle, did he have a heart for God at that moment? That's where he lost it, didn't he? That's where he got. Now, God's merciful. Don't look to the past. Look from this present time and forward and say, okay, Lord. Because here's the thing. Ready? God is faithful all the time. God is never unfaithful. And he's merciful. And he's willing and wanting to start from today, right now. I don't know, sometimes I can beat myself up more than anybody else. I can feel pretty bad about some things and just kind of getting the mully grubs over it. But that's not where the Lord wants us. So the Lord says, okay, from this point forward, know that I want to lead you into the light. And I want you to lead you into my peace and into my joy. Isn't that what he says he wants to give us? Not the joy and the peace of the world, but mine that cannot be lost. Okay, last thought. And that is the Lord's consequence of our consideration of his light. So look at verse 25. For he that hath, to him shall be given. Isn't that amazing? If you have it, you're going to be given more. If you're finding it, now forget about the past. If you want it today, understand this promise. If you want it, you're going to get it. And if you're in the getting process and God's in the giving process and he is in the giving business, then he's going to give you and I more. That's how it works. All you have to do, that's why I challenge you just to spend a minute or two in prayer and a minute or two in the Word of God. Now, do you think that's my goal for you? No, it's not my goal. That's just the start. That's just the start. Because as my desire, I've never revealed this. I don't think I ever shared this with you. But here's the truth, right? Because if God is in on it, if you bring God in on it, he's going to fan the flames and you're going to hunger and thirst. 1 or 2 minutes is not going to be enough, but it is an excellent starting point, especially if nothing else is taking place. That is the best place. And I'm serious. You just spend 1 or 2 minutes for prayer and 1 or 2 minutes to hear the Word of God. That's it. Let God take it from there. God will take what you give him and bless it and multiply it. But you just got to give him that 1 minute. See, be committed. Forget about this nonsense. Well, I got to make it 10 or 15 minutes. For why? Why? You can make 1 or 2 minutes every day. Just before you do something in the morning, it ought to be the first thing you do. Is to just, you know what, I'm going to have my cup of coffee and I'm going to open up the Bible and I'm going to talk to the Lord. That's a good thing to do. All right. Verse 25, for he that hath to him shall be given, and he that hath not from him shall be taken even that which he hath. So a lukewarm Christian is a very dangerous place to be. Because even what you seem to have, you're going to really lose it. See, listen, I didn't say this. This is the Lord saying it. Your relationship is with the Lord. He's saying that if you're not looking to... So here it is. I'm going to give God a minute or two in prayer and a minute or two in the Word of God, myself personally. And God says he's going to give you more. But if you're not even seeking that, then that which you even seem to have, you're going to lose it. I'm not talking about your salvation, not for 1 second. Not for 1 second. But you're going to grow cold to the things of God. And you watch what will happen. Listen, tell me this isn't true. You'll get caught up seeking the things of this world that are passing away. They'll become more important to you. They won't satisfy you. They won't make you happy. It'll be that carrot in front of the horse. Right? A good master will take, you know, back in whenever days they did this, they'd take a stick and a string and put a carrot in front of the horse to make it keep going forward, right? But then when the master would get to wherever he was going, he'd let the horse eat the carrot. He got rewarded. The devil will never let you eat the carrot because there is no carrot. He cannot offer you what he himself does not have. And that is the peace of God. And the joy of God that only comes where? From where? From the Lord. But we can preoccupy ourselves in so many things that are not bad or sinful. And we can miss out our time with the Lord. And our time with the Lord will give us the direction for life. For life. Now, I can't give you the faith to believe that. If you're saved, you have it. And God wants it to grow. And He's the one that will bring the growth. The choice is ours, is it not? You, Lord. Please, Lord, I don't want to be deceived. It's easy to do. How do I know that? I've got caught up in just researching and doing good things, not bad things. Good things, not sinful things. Nonetheless, not spiritual things. And I promise you, we won't find joy there. Oh, better yet, the Lord promises we'll never find joy there. Where's the joy found? In the Lord, amen? In the Lord. Not that we can't enjoy these other things, but let's not neglect our God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word, the reminding that it brings to our hearts and minds, and the encouragement, Lord, that you truly desire to do a work of faith and a work of eternal life that you've given to us and placed in us with your Holy Spirit. Bless the rest of the evening as we break off for prayer. And may you be highly exalted, Lord. May we see the light of your word, the direction that you want us to walk in and grow in. And we'll give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.